Lord God, we thank you for the peace we can have in our heart because of the promises of your word, because of your presence in our life. And Lord, as we open up your word now at this time to hear from our Savior as he spoke on that day, Father, I pray that you truly give us the ears to hear, to rightly understand, and Lord, to be able to apply it to our heart and our life. And Lord God, as always, for those that would be here today that have never trusted Christ, we pray today would be that day. Thank you for your love and grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bible this morning, join me again in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, where we are studying the message, the discourse, and the sermon of our Savior that he was directing to his disciples on this occasion. And for this morning, I just want to pick up, beginning in verse 27 and read down to verse 36. Our focus will be on verses 31 to 36. Beginning in verse 27, he says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Whoever hits you on the cheek, offer him the other also. Whoever takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt from him either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. Treat others the same way you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." Beloved, as we were reading those words, as we saw there in beginning in verse 27, Jesus lets us know who it is that will be truly hearing what it is that he is saying. When he says, "But I say to you who hear," that as those who truly have the ears and the heart to hear what he is saying. Because, beloved, what he's asking of them to do and what he's asking of us to do is only something that can be done by believers. It is only something that can be done by those who have truly experienced the saving grace of God, the love of God in their hearts. Because what he's asking us to do is really not natural. It only comes by the power and the grace and the strength of God. We began looking at this passage last week. We're focusing on where Jesus was saying about loving your enemies. We're going to continue that topic this morning. So we'll be focusing in on verses 31 to 36 this morning. But before we do that, I want to share a story with you that I heard from R.C. Sproul that was very appropriate for this topic that we're talking about today. He just told the story of a man that was coming to a counselor. And the man was complaining about his wife. And what he was telling the counselor is, "I'm here because I think I need to divorce my wife. Not because she's been unfaithful, not because she's abandoned me, not because she's been abusive to me. I just simply don't love her anymore." The counselor replied, "But sir, the scriptures plainly state a husband is supposed to love his wife." He said, "Yes, I know that, but I just can't seem to do that. It's even hard for me to stay in the same house with her at this point. So the counselor said, okay, let's try this. Do you know the people who live either next to you or across from you very well? Yes, I do. Well, how about you go live with them for a little while? But remember what Scripture says, love your neighbor. Your wife's living next to you, she's your neighbor. You're going to have to love your neighbor as you also are supposed to love your wife. He says, but sir, you don't understand how bad it's gotten. There is enmity between her and me. So much so, we cannot stand one another anymore. I cannot stand her anymore. So the counselor says, okay, Jesus said, love your enemies. Basically, whatever you're trying to get out of here, whether you see her as an enemy, you're supposed to love her. If she's your neighbor, you're supposed to love her. If she's your wife, you're supposed to love her. As I thought about that story, it just reminds me that we look for every kind of excuse at times to not obey what Scripture plainly teaches. Beloved, I want to encourage you yet, but warn you this morning, be careful not to do that with what Jesus is saying here. Now, in some sense, I would tell you that story is meant to be a little bit humorous, but it's also there to remind us of just how much we are called to a life of love. Loving our brethren, loving our neighbor, loving our spouses. And yes, as we're studying here in Luke 6, we're supposed to be loving our enemies on a personal level. I mean, between all of those, loving your neighbor, your spouse, your enemies, your brethren, we are called to a life of love. Which makes sense, beloved, when you think about we are children of God and we're told in Scripture that God is love. In fact, before we jump into our passage in Luke 6, turn with me for just a moment towards the back of your Bible to 1 John chapter 4. Remember what John wrote here, inspired by the Spirit of God. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 down to verse 12, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love. By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son to the world so that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. Why are we called to love? Why is it that love should be a part of our life? It's because God is love. And if we truly know God, if we've truly been born of God, then love will be a part of our life. And by love, as we're going to see, I'm not talking about a natural love or just a romantic love or a brotherly love. We're talking about a supernatural love that will be in our heart whereby we can love others and even love those who don't love us. As we go back to our text, this is what Jesus is reminding them about. This love of God's Word. Again, it's not a natural love, it's not a romantic love, or even a brotherly love here. It does include our emotions, it should include our feelings, but most of all, he's talking about our will. This must be something that is intentional. This is something that is deliberate in our words, in our heart, in our attitude, in our actions towards others. And in this context, he's saying, this is how you're supposed to be in your attitude and your actions and your words towards your enemies. What I want you to see from this text is that Jesus is calling us to a higher love. A higher love than the love of reciprocity. Well, we can just reciprocate what comes our way, which says, I'll love those who love me. I'll treat you the way you treat me. I'll do good to you if you do good to me. I'll help you if you're willing to help me. But if none of those things are true, my love stops. And Jesus says, I'm calling you to something higher than that. The love Jesus is calling us to is much higher than that because, as he says here, as we see in verse 27 and as we see even down in verse 35, he's saying, love your enemies. Love those who don't do good to you, that hate you. Love those who are cursing you. Love those who are mistreating you. We have to be willing to love and do good and help and serve and lend to others who may not ever reciprocate that love. In fact, they may do just the opposite. You see, beloved, at the heart of the issue here for us is that our love of others is not based on or conditioned on how others love us, how others treat us. Instead, it's based on how God has loved us. It's based on how God loves others. It's based on how God loves the ungrateful and the evil. Now, thinking about that, look down in verse 31. Jesus says there, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. This is known to probably most, if not all of us here today, as the golden rule. And what Jesus is saying here, there were similar thoughts that were already floating around that this crowd would have already heard. One of them would have been from even the apocryphal books of that day, from the Tobit, that would have said this, never impose on others what you would not choose for yourself. One of the popular Jewish rabbis of that day, Hillel, was known to teach, what is hateful to you, do not do to your neighbor. If you notice in both of those teachings, it's just focusing on the negative. But notice Jesus goes further than that, and he speaks about it in the positive manner. Not just what I won't impose on others, but what am I actually going to do for others? How am I actually going to treat them in a positive way? See, we can tend to read this passage and read that verse there in verse 31 as though it says, treat others the way they're treating you. But notice what Jesus says. It has nothing to do with how others are actually treating you. Notice he says, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. That is, as you desire. How would you want to be treated? That's how I will treat you. And let me clarify that, because someone may say, well, that's great, because you know what? I don't really like to talk to people. I don't really like to help people. I'm a self-preserved man. I can do it myself. I don't need anyone else for anything else. So you know what? I won't help anybody else and I won't ask anybody to help me. That's not what he's saying. That's really a selfish attitude. No, what Jesus is saying is, when he says treat others the way you want them to treat you, he's saying things like this. I'm going to treat others fairly because that's the way I'd want others to treat me. I'm going to be merciful to others whenever they fail because, you know what, I want someone to be merciful to me when I fail. I want to be gracious towards others and giving them things that they don't even deserve because I want others to treat me that way. I want to be forgiving towards others, quick to forgive, because that's the way I want others to treat me when I sin against them. I want to be patient with others. If we talked about in Ephesians 4, I want to be tolerant of others. Why? Because I want people to be patient with me, tolerant with me as I go through life. I want to look to do good to others in my words, in my actions. I want to look to be generous to others. Because I want people to be generous to me. If I have a need, I want people to be generous to meet that need, whether I could ever repay them back or not. No, I want others to be kind to me with their tone, their words, their actions. I want them to care about me, care about my interests, care about my thoughts. I want others to be slow to speak and quick to listen. I want others to be slow to anger with me. I want others to be willing to actually hold me accountable and speak truth to me. But when they do it, I want them to speak truth to me in love and with grace and with patience and with kindness. I want others just to love me in a very generous way. See, again, so listen to what Jesus is saying. All those things I just mentioned. What he's saying here is, that's the way you treat others. Treat others the way you would want them to treat you. So let's just get real with this. Let's get practical with this. And let's just say, excuse me, this is the way you want to treat your spouse. You say, well, my spouse doesn't treat me this way all the time. Well, he or she should, but if they never do, Jesus still said, treat them this way. Parents, treat your children this way. Children, treat your parents this way. Treat everyone on your job this way. Treat everyone in this church this way. And yes, treat your enemies this way. This is what Jesus is calling on. And that's why I say, yes, there is. You cannot and I cannot and none of us can do this in our own strength. He is asking us, as we look back at what he says now, if he follows this up after saying this instruction, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. He gives an illustration of this, gives some more information about it by the questions that he asks in verse 32 and verse 33 and verse 34. Because with the questions and the explanations that follow, Jesus is letting them know, and he's letting us know, that he's calling on us to distinguish ourselves from the unbelieving world. To distinguish ourselves of how we can love, even loving those who don't love us and treat us right. How is it that we can love them the way Jesus is calling on us to love them? This is why I said the world can love with the love of reciprocity. That is, if it can be reciprocated to them, then they can love. Because look at the things in verse 32 to 34. If you love those who love you, if you do good to those who do good to you, if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive. See, all three examples, he's saying, yes, if you can love those who are going to be loving you back, if you can do good to those who are going to do good to you back, if you're going to lend to those expecting something back from them, if that's the depth of your love and how far your love will go, notice what he says. What credit is that to you? On all three occasions, verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Verse 33, if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? In verse 34, if you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? And notice he follows that up with the explanation about sinners. And just when he says sinners there, just think about unbelievers. And what he says is, even sinners, unbelievers, love those who love them. They can go that far. And unbelievers can do good to those who do good to them. And even sinners, as he says in verse 34, the unbelievers can lend in order to receive back. They can live by the love of reciprocity. They can, by where it's going to be reciprocated back to them. And notice, though, he says, but what credit? That is, what benefit is that to you? Is there any spiritual or even eternal benefit for someone who can love that way? And his answer, by the way, he asked that question is no. There is no benefit to that spiritually. There's no benefit to that even eternally. And he's not talking about earning something with God as though you're trying to earn salvation with God. But that word for credit there or benefit there is actually the same word that is for grace. And ultimately what it's saying is, loving those who love you, doing good to those who do good to you, serving those who will serve you, helping those who will help you, lending to those who will lend back to you, that does not take the grace of God to do that. It doesn't. It doesn't take the saving grace of God working in your heart to produce that. The unbelieving world is able to do that. Jesus talked about evil people knowing how to give good gifts to others, especially even to their children. He said that there's no credit for that. There's no benefit for that. Now follow the flow. He says, but, or that is, rather than loving that way, rather than living our life that way, he says, here is what you should be doing. Loving your enemies, not just those who love you. Doing good, that is, doing good to those who are not doing good to you. Lend, expecting nothing in return. And a part of what he means by that there, it's not just that if I lend you some money, like you're in a true need, a financial need or material need, whatever it may be, and I'm going to give you that I expect that sometime down the road you will repay me for that. That is an aspect of that. But really, this goes even further to that. And basically what was taught during this time in these days in the Greco-Roman world was, this is, I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. And that's what he's saying. I'm willing to help you out because I know somewhere down the road you are going to be able and willing, and you're going to be willing to scratch my back when I need it scratched. And Jesus said, no. You give with an expectation that they'll never scratch your back again. That they'll never be able to repay it. They'll never be able to do anything for you. Notice he says, and your reward. If you're willing to love this way, you will be rewarded. And your reward will be great. Remember back in verse 23, where he says, be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. There is a benefit for us to love others sacrificially, to love others this way. There is a benefit, as Scripture even talks about in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, where we have faith in God and we truly believe that God rewards those who seek Him. Honestly, I'm not sure what all he's meaning by this reward that is there, but I know Jesus says it will be great. I know that a part of this will be When you're looking at the judgment seat of Christ, when the believers are at the judgment seat of Christ and their life and their works and their actions and their deeds and all the things they have done are being evaluated by our Savior, and there's going to be some of their works that are going to be burned up. They're not going to survive it. Why? Because it wasn't done by the grace of God. And I think that's a part of it here. Your reward will be great if you are loving people in this way with the right heart and the right motive. Furthermore, notice something else that's very important in verse 35. When he says, and you will be sons of the Most High. He's not saying there you will earn the status with God. You earn your place with God. You earn your justification with God. No. What does he mean by that? He means that I think one of the rewards you will get is the reward of assurance of your salvation. That this kind of love coming from your life demonstrates that you are a son of the Most High. You are a true child of God. Just as we just read there in 1 John chapter 4, where it said, if you do not love, if a person does not love, they don't know God. They haven't been born of God. Because everyone who's been born of God and knows God loves in this way. They're demonstrating that they have truly been born again. They are a true child of God. See, the unbelieving world is not doing this. But we are. We should be. You will be sons of the Most High. Notice what he says. Why is that? Because we're going to be acting like our Father. We're going to be looking like our Father when we do that. Because as he says at the end of verse 35, for he himself, the Most High, is kind. And notice, who is he kind to? He is kind to the ungrateful. He's kind to the evil. God is kind towards people who never are thankful. They're never grateful for all the things he has done and he is doing for them. But see, his loving kindness is not based on how they respond. He is just a loving, compassionate, kind God. And even towards the ungrateful, even towards the evil, God shows kindness. Think about this. God shows kindness every day to the vast majority of this world who is ungrateful towards him. I mean, the sun rises on them and blesses them the way it blesses us. The rain that we need is the rain they need, and they receive it as well. The breath that we need, God blesses them with that breath. Their needs are being met. They're enjoying the life. Even here, they're enjoying the life of family. They're enjoying a life of those that are loving them. They're enjoying a life of those that are doing good to them. They're enjoying a life of those that are willing to help them. They're enjoying a whole lot of life. And yet, they're never thankful to God for that. They're evil because of that. But think about even our own lives. Even as believers, how ungrateful can we be at times towards God? Where we don't truly appreciate all the ways in which he shows us kindness every day. And yet God still loves us. He still cares for us. He still does good to us. He still meets our needs. We recall in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it is there we're told that love is kind. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, where Paul is talking to Timothy and he's saying, the bondservants of the Lord. When you have those that are in opposition to the truth, he still says even there to him, be kind to all. You still, those that are evil, unbelieving, he says, you be kind to them. And notice he follows this up in verse 36, be merciful. How am I supposed to be merciful? Just as your Father is merciful. We're looking to imitate our God. And I'm reminded of what we're taught over in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 10, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Oh, beloved, if God did not show love towards enemies, none of us would be saved. It's only because of His love. I'm reminded of what we read last time in Ephesians chapter 2, that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We were living according to the course of this world. We were living according to the prince of the air. We were by nature children of wrath, indulging ourselves in the lust of our flesh, the lust of our eyes. Yet, God, being rich in mercy, saved us, brought us from death to life, raised us up, saved us by the grace of God, graciously granting us the gift of faith that He provided. That's all out of mercy. It's nothing because we deserved it. Our hearts were naturally hostile to God. Our hearts are naturally rebellious against God. But God overcame that by His sovereign grace in your heart. If you sit here today as a truly saved person, beloved, it's only by the mercy and the grace of God. And even before that, the mercy and the grace He kept showing you every day. The kindness He kept showing you every day. Think about it like this. Treat all others, no matter how they treat you, with love, kindness, mercy, and grace. Just as God has treated you and is continuing to treat you in these very same ways. You see, if we truly listen to what Jesus is saying and we seek by the strength and the grace of God to apply it, it will transform every life here. And it'll transform every marriage here. It'll transform every home here. It'll transform every relationship in this church at the very heart of it. It will transform this church. And yes, it will open doors for evangelism, because if we are truly loving our enemies, it will open doors. Beloved, if every single one of us is committed by the grace of God, as I said, to go back and say, I'm going to treat, and you fill in the blank, your spouse, your child, your parent, your fellow brother and sister in Christ, your enemy, I'm going to treat them with love, kindness, generosity, forgiveness, patience, tolerance. I'm going to speak truth to them in love. I'm going to hold them accountable in love. That's the way I'm going to treat, fill in the blank. Love, that will transform those relationships. So what I would encourage each of us to do with this is, first and foremost, you need to truly pray about this in your own heart and life. You need to go back and meditate on this. Think deeply about this. And then, I truly believe if you're doing that, there's probably going to need to be some confession of sin, where you have not been loving others in this way, you have not been treating others in this way. There's probably going to need to be some forgiveness. Forgiveness of others. Forgiveness by others. And then there just needs to be a willingness and a plan to think this out and say, okay, Lord, how do I practically do this? And you can probably right now start to fill in the blank of who it is that this needs to start with. How do I do this? Well, you keep looking back at the cross. You know, we've been singing even this morning, how is it that when we suffer pain and loss, we keep looking back at the cross to comfort us, to strengthen us? And again, I'm not asking for some moral behavior modification. This has to come from the heart. This has to come from a heart that truly loves God. And that's why I would say, if you're here today and you're not a follower of Christ, I want you to think about the kindness of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God He has shown you every day of your life. That though you've been ungrateful, He's still shown you kindness. But I also want to warn you that one day that will come to an end. Because as it talks about in Romans 2, that you keep stubbornly rejecting the kindness of God, you're just storing up more and more wrath. The good news is, if you will truly humble yourself, truly see yourself for what He says is ungrateful and evil, and truly see that your only hope is in Christ and the looking at the love of God that is displayed on the cross, where Jesus was on the cross taking upon Himself our sins, trusting Him, surrendering to Him, you will be forgiven. Beloved, I know what fights against all this in our hearts as believers is self. When self rises up, and it can be even self-preservation. It's like, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know that I can do this because I've got to preserve myself. I feel like if I really love this way, I am truly going to make myself very vulnerable and I could be very hurt by this. I understand that. I do. And there's no guarantee when Jesus says that you love your enemies that means they're going to love you back. It doesn't. But you know your reward would be great from Him. And it demonstrates you're a true child of His. That there is comforting to my heart to know. So follow through on what the Lord is calling and asking on us to do. I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer for a moment. I want to give you a moment to reflect on what you've heard. Help God to help you to fight in your heart all the Yeah, but what about? Yeah, but what about? Just ask Him to help you. Say, Lord, I hear what You're saying. And I want to love in this way. I want to treat others this way. And when I don't, help me to confess that and do that right. All because I know of Your love for me. Your patience with me. Your goodness towards me. Lord God, we cannot do this in our flesh. We cannot do this in our own strength. Lord, without Your presence and power in our life, this is futile. And Lord, if there's someone here today recognizing that they have not had the presence and the power of God in their life, because they've truly never come to You, I pray today You are opening their eyes to that reality. And by Your grace and Your Spirit, drawing them in such a way that they are humbling themselves and will truly put their faith in Christ. Lord, help us all to die to self. To die to ourself and live to You. No matter the cost. No matter the price, because of Your grace. Oh Lord, bless Your word by Your Spirit today. And we give You the glory for all that You will do. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.